Hi, church. My name is Sergi Lee Nelson. I am grateful for the space to share my reflections from the Korea trip a few weeks ago. My husband, John, and I had the opportunity to spend a few weeks there visiting my family. For the last 8 days of the trip, we joined our team of nine from Ken traveling around Korea. I have now been in the United States for 8 years. Since my last visit 3 years ago, I have finished my degree program at the U of M, got married, and received my green card. I am not just an international student anymore, but an immigrant to the United States married to an American. That made this trip feel different than my past trips back home, and I'm still struggling to process everything. I'll do my best to share some of my reflections so far. I am originally from Seoul, Korea. I was born in the city and grew up there. I moved to the United States after I finished college because I wanted to study music and because I wanted to explore life in the U.S., which I had heard so much about. The first impression I have every time I go back is the pace of life and speed of development in Seoul. I could feel the changes from 3 years ago. The city continues to grow and expand, building more and more impressive buildings. There are more people, more cars, and more pollution. It seems like the lights never turn off. The subway now has 18 lines throughout the city, and yet there were still more cars on the road. I observed the lifestyle in Seoul through my sister, Midi. She's a professional business marketer from a major corporation. She leaves for work every morning by 7 a.m. and gets home between 11 p.m. and midnight. She's losing weight because she often has to skip meals, and she doesn't have any time to rest, spend time with friends, or enjoy other activities. She was so busy that it was hard to spend time together. We had to hang out between midnight and 2 a.m. Then she was back to work early the next morning. I realized that one of the downsides of modern development and growth of the economy in Korea is busyness. There's a lot of competition and pressure to work long hours just to afford the most basic apartment and living expense in Seoul. This has become worse since I left in 2008 because people are taking out more loans, use credit cards regularly, and have started accepting debt as a part of life. This all means that they don't have a choice but to keep working long hours. So many friends I've met with are tired, stressed, and don't have time to invest in relationships. They were intrigued by life, living in community, but also struggled to understand it. It seemed unrealistic to them. This all made me sad because I know that Korea learned this way of life from the United States, and I have learned through my experience at Ken the effect this will have on families and individuals. Marriages will struggle and kids will grow up without experiencing their parents' love and care. My sister's boss has a daughter that she doesn't see during the week because of her work hours. Then on Saturdays, she's so exhausted from her work hours that she takes me time all day. There didn't used to be a concept like me time in Korea. Western psychology and talks about the need for personal healing, well-being, and self-care are all new developments to deal with the pressures of the Western way of life. While this was surprising for me to experience in my home country, I was also reminded of the power of Jeong on our trip. Jeong is deep mutual affection. It is a way of sharing and caring for each other without boundaries or limit. It is a natural circulation of giving and receiving whatever each person has without calculating or even being aware of it. It's a flow that just happens and you participate without even being conscious of. While Jeong is disappearing in Korea, where Westernization is happening, it's still present in families and more rural areas. John and I experienced it with my family, especially visiting my aunts, uncles, and cousins at my grandma's house on my mom's side. They prepared a 5-course meal for us and had us eating, drinking, laughing, and telling stories for hours into the early morning, only to wake up and do it all over again the next day. Everyone was quick to take care of everyone else and make sure they were having a good time. Chong is strong in my family, and I realized that I had been missing it. When the team arrived, we visited Gwangju, a small city located far from Seoul in the southwestern province. We were hosted by Pastor Kwon, a professor at Changshin Seminary, who started the internship program that sends interns to Ken every year. He's from Seoul and recently moved to Gwangju to take a call as a senior pastor at First Presbyterian Church. I asked him how he has been doing there. He said, "Gwangju is a place where people still share jeong abundantly." A congregation member would give him kimchi that she made. Then others would bring side dishes to him. While he was sharing this with me, he received a phone call. A congregation member who owns a clothing shop had just received a new arrival of clothes and wanted him to see them immediately to pick out and receive the best ones. Reverend Kwon was rich because he was in a community that was quick to give and show care. We also experienced a lot of care from Pastor Jin's dad's family in the city of Yeosu. I could tell right away that they are the older generation of Koreans who still know how to relate deeply to people with jeong. Because they love Pastor Jin, they received our whole group as family. They spent 2 days driving us to all the best places in Yeosu, always giving us what we needed along the way, from bottles of water to snacks to ramen, and then treating us to the best seafood meals in town in the evening. They were also full of affection, joy, and laughter. They weren't doing it as a duty, but because they experienced happiness through caring for us. I have been in the U.S. for 8 years so far, and the hardest part about being here is missing this easy circulation of jeong, of giving and receiving care and love without thinking about it. My brain is busy every day trying to process interactions with people, trying to understand the customs, culture, and nature of human relationships. There's so much wealth here with endless choices for food and things to buy. I'm still shocked every time I walk in a Sam's Club or Menards. People are so used to an abundance of choices that they learn to choose their relationship as well, just like they would choose their favorite fruit and clothes. And because there's such abundance here, people don't have to depend on other people for care, and they aren't expected to give care in all situations. There are not negative consequences for acting selfishly. It's often rewarded. Because of this, in the U.S., it feels like relationships happen in a lineal way, not a circular way. They feel like more of a calculated transaction. It used to be natural for me to give jeong in abundance, but then I realized it was getting more difficult because the circulation doesn't always happen in the way I was used to. If the circle of giving and receiving is broken, then it feels like I am being tested by relationships, by how much I am capable of giving. Then I realized that I was starting to hesitate, questioning whether I should give my affection or not, because I was afraid of being hurt. This has been one of the biggest struggles I've had since being in the United States. If I don't hesitate and I just give it freely, then I might just be used for someone else's benefit, be ignored, and then ultimately lose in some competition that has been set up. I don't want to be conscious of giving, and I hate it that I now sometimes calculate whether or how much to give. I'm grateful to the older generation of Koreans through my grandmother and aunt, and through Pastor Jin's family in Yeosu for reminding me of just how important Jeong is. I realized that the greatest gift I carry in my body from Korea is a joy in giving and pouring out care for others. If I lose this because I don't feel the circulation in the U.S., then I will become one more individual in this individualistic society. The most dangerous thing that could happen to me. Chad Myers told me 2 weeks ago that I've been intentional for 8 years to adjust to American society. Now he said, it's time for me to be intentional to keep my own culture. I realized through this trip just how important our church's ministry is. My grandfather warned me during this trip that it's not possible to be a human being in the U.S. because it's too selfish and individualistic. He wanted me to come and live in rural Korea because it's still possible to be a human being there. He's right about the U.S., but I know that I found somewhere in the U.S. where we are aware of these dangers and are working hard to keep our humanity. I'm more grateful than ever for our life together, for our Church of Nations community, where we can share Jeong and practice loving and caring for each other every day. Thank you, Church, for being family and giving me a home away from home. Thanks.